لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. We could all start by reciting Durood Sharif one time on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صل على محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. First of all, unfortunately, we're not unfortunately having our Sheikh Mufti Habib Rahman Sahib Hafidahullah with us today. The plan was for him to restart our Thursday night durus and majalis and back to normal, as was the plan, but unfortunately he's not with us today. Inshallah, next week he will be back and the programs will resume as they were before. It's just our own to our own ill fortune. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us for whatever wrongdoings that we have on our part. And subhanAllah, it's very important that we hold very firmly onto the ulama. The Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, to the Sahaba, 1400 years ago, he said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that seek this knowledge of deen, before قَبْلَ أَن يُقْبَلَ وَيُرْفَعَ, before it is seized and it is lifted away from you. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked, Ya Rasulullah, there was a Bedouin, a Baddu, who stood up and he asked, very simple, Bedouins are very simple in their nature. So he asked quite frankly, Ya Rasulullah, you brought us the Qur'an and we have your teachings. How can knowledge leave us if we have the Qur'an with us and we will teach our children the Qur'an, we will teach our children your teachings? How then can knowledge be lifted? So this, may the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face turned bright red at that point, if I remember correctly. And then he said that, بِذَهَابِ حَمْلَتِكُمْ, that إِنَّمَا ذَهَابِ عِلْمُكُمْ بِذَهَابِ حَمْلَتِكُمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ, that the seizing of knowledge will not be except by Allah Ta'ala seizing the bearers of knowledge. So the Prophet ﷺ then explained that, do you not see the Banu Israel, the Ahlul Kitab? Did they not have the scriptures? Did they not have the books? Did they not have yet? And they were led astray. Meaning that it's very, very important that a person, he see, and this was then to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And until today this thing has been continuing, that the knowledge and ilm has been decreasing, and we seek Allah Ta'ala's protection from that time where it will be totally seized. So it's very important, the further and further we go away from the life of the Prophet ﷺ, that we keep a strong connection with the ulama and the scholars. The reason is, if you don't have the scholars, then unfortunately, then where are you going to get your knowledge from? So just like with everything, if you want a sound health, then you want to keep your connection strong with sound, medically trained, authorized doctors. In the same way, the deen has its own authorization as well. And that is what is commonly referred to as the sanad, the chain. Every single person who sits on the mimbar to give a speech or to impart some knowledge, he should have knowledge of what he's talking about and he should be authorized to speak on that behalf. It's okay, alhamdulillah. This is a point that we hear quite. There's lots of people, subhanAllah, that are very passionate about the deen. That's very good. We need passion for the deen. Allah Ta'ala looks at the jazbah as well, not just the a'mal that we do, both things together. It's not just the salah, but also Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا قُسَالَى. The munafiqun, when they stand for salah, they stand lazy. They stand in laziness. And وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كَارِهُونَ. When they give zakah, they don't give it except whilst being displeased with giving it, whilst being annoyed and giving it with a displeasure. So the kayfiyat and the passion, the jazbah and the ikhlas is the main thing. However, at the same time, the deeds themselves are very, very important. So it's good to have passion, there's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to who do you get your masail from, who do you learn the deen from, then it's very important that you go to someone who has a sanad, who has a chain. This is why the scholars of the past would say, لَوْلَا الْإِسْنَاد لَقَالَ مَنْ شَاءَ مَا شَاءَ. If there was none of this chain business, if there was none of this authorization, then whoever wanted to say whatever he wanted, he'd be able to say it. I'll give you a very simple example, I think that we can all understand. Is alcohol forbidden in Islam? Yeah, I think everyone knows that very well. But there's an ayat in the Quran Kareem. Was alcohol prohibited in one go? Alcohol was prohibited in stages, three stages in particular in the Quran Kareem. Allah Ta'ala first prohibited it to be drunk before salah. Yeah, you have, because some of the sahaba, they drank it and they prayed salah and they made faltered in recitation. So the first hukum was, لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى. Don't approach salah whilst you are drunk. So the first thing was, you weren't allowed to drink before salah. So it was prohibited in three different stages. But we know very well that eventually it received total prohibition. And when the Sahaba heard the hukam being revealed of total prohibition, then some of them had huge amounts in their, you know, as stock, because they were engaged in trade. And there was no prohibition, you could say. They could have come and asked, Ya Rasulullah, but what about what we have now? Can we just discard of that? No. As soon as the Sahaba radiallahu anhum heard that Allah Ta'ala doesn't like this, there was no question. Straight away they threw those same very bottles, such to a degree that the floor and the ground of Medina was flowing with the smell and with the liquid of alcohol across its streets. This was their Sami'na wa Ata'na, which we've spoken about over the past few weeks. But the point is, it was prohibited in stages. And a couple of years ago, a long time ago, which is why I'm mentioning the story, I'm sure many of us probably aren't aware of it, there was somebody in one of the masjids in Glasgow who very simply didn't understand this fact. So he came across the Quran translation, he saw that here, you know what, it's not totally prohibited, it's only prohibited in a very specific scenario. So then he opened up he had a whole conference, and he said that no, this is actually in Islam, alcohol is prohibited only when it's time for salah. But apart from that, it's allowed to be drunk. La hawla quwwata illa billah. So he destroyed himself, and then he destroyed others as well. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that this time will come where knowledge will be taken. And then what will happen? People will take knowledge from those who are already astray or don't have knowledge. فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا They will go astray and they will lead other people astray as well. So extremely, extremely important, whenever any matter comes with your deen, whenever you receive something on any social media, if it's something you've not heard of and you don't know yourself if it's true, don't forward it. Make sure it's first, you know it's true. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, it's sufficient for someone to be a kadhib, a kadhab, in the books of Allah Ta'ala, in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, it's sufficient for someone to be a liar, that he just spreads whatever he hears, without investigating and doing his own tahqeeq. So the easiest way to save yourself from any hustle, any harm, is that you make sure you get it verified by your local ulama and your scholars. So the point was, that we should keep our connection strong with the ulama. In the dunya as well. And there's one thing I suppose it's important to mention, that your relationship with the ulama and scholars is with their knowledge. It's not with their actions. So it doesn't matter if someone's actions are, you know, what their actions are. If they tell you something that's correct, then it's correct. You know, my brother's here today, mashallah, I often tell him the story that our sheikh was telling the story of a surgeon in Afghanistan, and he had a patient who had very, very severe liver disease. So he advised him that, my friend, you need to stop smoking. It's killing you. And as the surgeon was saying it to him, he himself was smoking at the same time. So the patient asked that, you know, sir, you're smoking yourself, you tell me to stop. So the surgeon then replied that, I'm willing to die with this. Are you willing to die with this as well? So the surgeon, didn't matter what his actions was, he had the knowledge to give him the right thing. That was all he needed to do. He didn't need to look at his amal. This is a slight problem sometimes where people become disheartened by someone for some whatever reason, but then they leave those things which are correct. No, your relationship with the alim is just with his amal, also with his ilm and his knowledge. As long as his knowledge is correct, then that is fine. And at the same time, the mashayikh, then it's the opposite with them. That you look in a pious man, you look for his actions and not for his knowledge. You look to see how much he acts upon the deen. Khair, that's a bit more of an extended point. So many people fall into this trap as well. So khair, we should keep our relationship and we should keep on asking. There's a lot of rahat in this, and there's a lot of ease and sukoon in this when you know what you're doing is the right thing. Okay, after that, amma ba'd, over the past few weeks we have been spending this time. We always gather for the purpose of reminding ourselves of our connection with the Prophet ﷺ. We sometimes talk about some of his specialties, his rank, his virtue, how lucky we are to be amongst his ummah. SubhanAllah, just last week we heard in the Bukhari Khatam where we were on Saturday, that Musa alayhi salam, when he was in the blessed valley of Tuwa, Allah Ta'ala said to him that remove your shoes, you are now at a innaka bilwadi al-muqaddasi Tuwa, remove your shoes. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his dream, he once heard footsteps ahead of him, and he asked, Ya Allah, who are these, whose shoes imprints am I seeing in front of me? And he was told that these are the footprints of Bilal radiyallahu anhu. And what was, so then the Prophet ﷺ woke up, he asked Bilal radiallahu anhu, what is it that you're doing that I hear this, that there's such great rank that I've heard in my dream, that I've seen in my dream? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't know if there's anything else that I do, but whenever I do wudu, then every time I make sure after performing wudu that I perform two rakats of nafl. That's all. But subhanAllah, that continuity was so loved by Allah Ta'ala, the ikhlas in that he gained that rank. But the point is, as an ummati of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was allowed to keep his shoes on. This is what the scholars mentioned. Bukhair, alhamdulillah, we're very, very blessed to be in the ummah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We've spoken, alhamdulillah, much about the importance and the benefits and the need for following the sunnah. The following the sunnah is the key to unlocking all of our worries in this life and in the hereafter. And at the same time, the abundant recitation of the Salatu Salam, Durushi from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, especially on the night of Friday, i.e. the night preceding Friday and the day of Friday. Khair, alhamdulillah, this has been our point. I think today, what we mentioned just before we go on to the stories of Sahaba radiallahu anhum that show us how that's done, is I'll mention one very, very quick point, and this is a very practical sort of point. So this is something that will be very applicable, inshallah. And that is that whenever you have anything that you need to do in your life, okay, so let's start with an example. One that I think, again, everyone can hopefully relate to is the example of driving. Somebody wants to learn to drive. Now he needs to get to that point where he's able to pass the theory test and he's able to drive physically at such a level and with such composure and with such capability that he is able to, for 40 minutes or however long it is nowadays, he is able to satisfy the examiner that he is a legal and safe driver. That's where he needs to get at. They don't care how he learns. He doesn't need to have an instructor per se. They don't care where he gets his theory from. They will say, learn from the highway code. That's where the UK, so that's certified from the UK information and the government law. But nobody cares. The main thing you need to do is pass your exam. That is your maqsad. That is your aim. So Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created man, I have not created jinn. The reason why I've created them is only لِيَعْبُدُونَ, so that they worship me. So that they may worship me. After that, whatever else there is in their life is to facilitate the ultimate goal. The rest which they have is to help them gain strength for ibadat. The food that they eat is to help them gain strength for ibadat. Whatever they're doing is to facilitate that. And whatever point of life they are, then what they should do at that time will count as ibadat. So for example, sleeping according to sunnah will be an ibadat at that time. As Sahabi mentioned, that I have just as much hope in my tahajjud salah as I do in my sleep of reward. This is understanding of the deen which these people had. I have just as much hope of reward from my sleep that I'm doing my tahajjud salah. Why? Because my sleep is according to the sunnah, and through my sleep the rest that I get will help me get up and then pray tahajjud and make it for fajr salah. So subhanAllah, the deen is in its complete package. Now, we all know what we need to do. Nobody here needs to be told. I'm asked the question about alcohol. No, there was no, alhamdulillah, no objection to its hurmat and its prohibition. And we need to, la ilaha illallah, we need to act upon halal, stay far, far, far away from haram. That's the main thing. We know what we need to do. We need to act upon the sunnah. We know what our duties are to pray salah. But how many of us are able to do it? How many from amongst the Muslims are able to do it? And there's a very practical and a very, as I say again, reason for that. And that is that a person needs to work on his nafs. He needs to battle his desires every day, all day, day and day out, every second. This battle with the nafs doesn't stop until death comes. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. So this continues. However, it's a very long battle, it's a very hard battle. The Shariat is, subhanAllah, it's not difficult, but there are so many rulings and so many ahkam that how does one make sense of it all and how does one bring it into his life practically? It's very, very hard. Again, going back to the driving example, the person needs to learn the theory of driving and he needs to learn how to drive as well. Where does he start? Should he learn how to drive physically first? Should he learn the theory first? How does it work? So, now again, I'll go. Now how do most people pass? They get an instructor. They find someone who can teach them, because that's the easiest way. It saves them the time of having to dig in, do all the research, and then after that, learn through trial and error, what's the best way to pass a driving exam. Yeah. Whereas the driving instructor, he's got years of experience. People are coming and going with him all the time. He has students all the time. It's his field, just like it's someone's field with anything else. But we'll stick to the driving example, inshallah. So the matter continues. If he does as a driving instructor does, teaches him, and the driving instructor sees his strengths, and he's hopefully a good driving instructor, not one that's just there to rip him off, then he sees his strengths and he slowly, slowly helps him progress. Eventually, very quickly, he gets to the stage where driving becomes second nature to him. And with a little bit of effort with his theory, within a year or however long, very short period of time, he's able to take his test comfortably and pass comfortably. And there was no extreme effort on his part. The only effort he had to make was show up. Really, to show up and do as the driving instructor said, and subhanAllah, the road is very easy for him. This sort of system, I give this as an example to make it easy to understand, This system exists everywhere, in every field of life. You have لِكُلِّ فَنِّ الرِّجَالِ. For every field they are, it's men, it's experts. And the deen is no different to that as well. I have to give this because people with the deen, they attach certain things, they make it seem as if everything is just going to magically happen. That's not how it works. Allah Ta'ala has a system for everything that's in the universe. So the system that He has for this is that, now I go to what the main point was. Our Hakim al-Umad Mawlana Shafi'i Tanwi rahimahullah mentions that I just spoke about battling the desires in order to bring the Sharia into one's life. He mentions that there's three types of people, but the main are two types of people. He says the first type of people are those people who, again, they have this, they understand their purpose, they need to pass a driving test. In this example, they need to adhere to the Sharia which the Prophet ﷺ brought and bring it into their life completely, pray their salah, give their zakah properly on due time in the proper way, hajj, fulfill the rights of their parents, their siblings, their wives, their children, fulfill the rights that other people have on them, and whatever else there is, earn halal and spend in a halal manner, in the best manner, so they get all the reward and so that they're... So one is a person who himself goes through the whole ordeal of learning everything that's demanded from him in the deen. He goes through all the process of investigating, understanding, learning it, and engaged in that for a long period of time. Once he understands it, then he goes through the long ordeal and trial of then bringing it into his own life. That's another ball game, another ground of its own. Because then it's him versus himself. Some days he feels like it, some days he doesn't feel like it. And he's on his own in this journey. It's very hard. Allah Ta'ala sends his help, there's no doubt about it. But it's a very, very hard way. And you can imagine it takes a very long time for such a person. And many people, Mawla mentions, that by experience we've seen that many people fail in this way. Many people fail or they fall short when they try and do it all themselves. Again, back to the driving example, very clear. Somebody's trying to learn how to drive, and he doesn't know how to do it. He thinks, maybe I should memorize the entire highway code. Whereas you don't need to do that. You just need to understand the main points and you pass your theory test. But he thinks, I need to understand and memorize it. He goes through that whole process. Then he realizes, no, you know what? There's a lot of crossover. I don't need to memorize it all. Then he fails the driving test once. He realizes, actually, I need to test myself so I can understand the knowledge. He does it a couple of times, passes his theory. And then he picks up the book and it's 20 times harder, or probably 100 times harder to learn how to drive from a book. Okay, now I need to put my clutch down, first gear, this gear. So the point is, it's very, very long, very difficult. So bringing it into action is another whole ball game of its own. It's another whole difficult ordeal of its own. So this is why the Imam Sahib mentions that very few people are successful in this way, and they're known as the Akhyar. These people, through turmoil and through trial, their whole lives, understanding the deen and then bringing it into their life, and through lots and lots of trial and error, eventually they make it. And most people, you can imagine, people like me, I can definitely say, we would not be successful in such a way. The second option is the option of the Abrar. Now, these are people who subscribe to someone, and what that person is he is an expert in the deen. He is someone who understands the deen. At least enough to know how to act upon it. Because that's what's important. There's no point if you can quote to me 1,000 hadith on the virtues of being patient if you yourself have no sabr. The main thing that's demanded is sabr. It's okay if you don't have that much knowledge. It's a virtue. There's great virtues of knowing the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the Prophet made a dua that may Allah Ta'ala naddar Allahu imra'an samia maqalati fahafidaha wa'aha wa'addaha wa kama qal. That may Allah Ta'ala bring nur on the face of that person, and may Allah Ta'ala make his face shine who memorizes something that I have said, and he protects it, he guards it, and he acts upon it and he spreads it as well. So there's a great virtue in this. But the main demand is that person acts upon it. So this person that he subscribes to is an expert in the deen to such a degree that person understands the deen enough that he knows how to act upon it. And then what he does is, whatever that person tells this person to do, then he does as he says. Just like if he's got a driving instructor and the driving instructor tells him what to do, he does as the driving instructor says, and his life is made very, very easy. And Shaykh mentions that as a result of this, since all he has to do is listen to what the person who he's learning from tells him to do, then subhanAllah, most people are successful in this way. Most people are successful in this way. And this person that they take this deen from, that they learn from, this person is known as, in the true sense, a sheikh. This is what a sheikh is all about. This is what people, when you see people, they have a sheikh, they have someone they go back to. This is why. Because it's very similar to the example of a family doctor. That this person knows you as an individual. He knows your weaknesses, He knows your tabiat, your mizaj, and He knows which things to work on first. And then He'll slowly, slowly introduce them. There's no point learning the details of the highway code if you don't even understand the basics of driving. So I mean, there's no point going into the deep parts of the deen, those extra things which shaitan might make a person, you know, waste his time on, whereas the fara'id are not being fulfilled. I'll give an example. The Prophet ﷺ was once asked about a woman who would pray her salah, who would engage in not just the normal basic worship, but she would engage in excessive worship of Allah Ta'ala. Abundant dhikr, abundant tahajjud, abundant charity, whatever they may have been. But they asked the Sahaba, Ya Rasulullah, but she gives a lot of harm and takleef to her neighbor. Her neighbors suffer a lot of inconvenience as a result of her actions. What is her case? What is the outcome of her matter? This hadith is narrated by Imam Bukhari in Adul Mufrad. He says that the Prophet ﷺ replied that hiya finnar, she will be in the fire of Jahannam. She will be in the fire of Jahannam. And then he was asked about someone else who does the basics, but at the same time, they have a good relationship with the neighbor and they give no harm to neighbor. The Prophet ﷺ said that hiya fil Jannah, she is in Jannah. So this, the point is that they are the essentials, the core things that come first. And then the baat ki baate, the other things, the extra things, they come afterwards. The very first important thing are the fara'id. Now if you don't understand these things, then it's very easy to fall under these traps. So the only point I'll leave you with, because we spoke about the sunnah, we've spoken about reciting Durood Sharif, we've spoken about the importance of following the sharia, and last couple of weeks we've been focusing on the heart, about building the engine of the heart, and making an effort and raising awareness of the need to work on our heart so that the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam truly comes first. Where if somebody speaks about anything else, then it's something that annoys us. It makes us uneasy. We can't wait until we come to the masjid. We can't wait until somebody, and every conversation is boring until somebody mentions Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This kayfiyat comes through effort and comes through practice. But after that, to bring the deen into your life, then for that, the need is required that you sit with experts. You sit with people who are who understand the deen. And subhanAllah, that way a person gets tawfiq to do a'mal. They're not doing anything for you. Allah Ta'ala has made them a means by which subhanAllah, then, just as the doctor is, that they help you individualize, personalize the treatment for you so that slowly, 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 you can bring the deen into your life. And not only that, you can bring the deen into your life with ikhlas as well. Because these people are very, very big on that. That you have sincerity in your deeds as well. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned, there's a hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates from the Prophet ﷺ. And when he tried to narrate this hadith, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, many of us will know, he's narrated thousands of hadith. He is one of the most proficient and prolific narrators of hadith that there are. Amongst the six of the most knowledgeable sahaba radiallahu anhu from amongst of hadith. And this hadith, when he tried to relate it, then he fainted when he tried to utter the words. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ And he fell down unconscious. And he said again, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ And he fell down unconscious again. So he did this three times, and then finally he mentioned that I heard the Prophet ﷺ say that on Yawmul Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will, the first people who He will throw into the fire of Jahannam will be an alim, a shaheed, and a sakhi, a person who is extremely generous and giving a lot in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in charity, in sadaqah and khairat. So as for the shaheed, Allah Ta'ala, the alim, or the qari, there's both narrations, someone with knowledge of the deen, whatever it might be, knowledge of the Qur'an, it might be knowledge of the deen, whatever it may be, or a qari, you'll be asked that, Allah Ta'ala will ask him, what did you do with your life? So you will say, Ya Allah, in my life, I learnt the Qur'an, and I used to recite it. Or he will say that I learnt the deen, and I used to teach it to other people. So then Allah Ta'ala will ask him that, okay, you did so, why did you do it? He says, for your sake, Ya Allah, I did this. I spent my life, I sacrificed my life for your deen. Imagine a person, his whole life he spent for the deen. Not even, we talk about our own, whatever we engage in our dunyavi works. You think somebody studying the deen, teaching the deen, learning the deen, he's going to at least be successful. But yet Allah Ta'ala would say that no, you didn't learn the deen from me. You learned it so people could call you a scholar. You learned it so people could say, what a great qari this guy is. Wow, man, has heart-touching recitations, heart-rendering recitations. Yeah, just to make a big name of yourself. So today there's nothing for you. You were called, you got whatever you desired, whatever amount was written for you, of fame, of whatever else you were after, you got your share. Today there's nothing for you here, and he'll be thrown first into the fire of Jahannam. وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ The fuel of the fire of Jahannam is insan and rock. So the fire of Jahannam will be heated up with these people. The second person will be the shaheed in a similar manner. He'll be asked, what did you do with your life? He will say, Ya Allah, I sacrificed my life, the most precious thing you gave to me, for your sake. Allah Ta'ala will say, no, you did so, so the people could call you a brave man and a warrior. Allah. And so you got your rank and your status in this world. Today there's nothing left for you. And he'll be dragged again. Allah Ta'ala will command the angels to come and drag him and throw him into the fire of Jahannam as well. And the third person will be a similar state. What did you do? He said that I spent my whatever you gave me day in, day out, Ya Allah, in your path, wherever it may have been, sadaqah and khairat, and for the poor and the needy and the deserving, and in avenues of good and khair. Allah Ta'ala will say, you only did so people could say that what a generous person you are. So today there's nothing for you, and so he will also be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. So this is another very, very delicate matter. That person needs to understand the deen, he needs to act upon the deen. Ilm, amal, and ikhlas. These are the three things which he needs. Without missing any of these, if someone's doing amal, but he's not doing amal on the deen or the deeds that are required of him. Yeah, what we're listening to on the car on the way today. That someone's praying salah, but in his salah he's making big, big, major mistakes. Or he's not pure, his tahara is not there. What's happening going to happen as a result is that all his efforts are going to go to waste. So there's so much. I mean, the point is not to scare you. The point is to say that there's a lot of rahat, there's a lot of ease if a person connects himself with the right people in any field of life. And the point is, it's no different in the deen. It's no different in the deen. We need to appreciate and understand the level that Allah Ta'ala has given to the mashayikh. And people say, what is the need for a buzurg in our life? What's the need for these saintly people if we have the Quran and Hadith? And I started with the Hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that it won't be the books that will be lifted from you. The knowledge of the Quran will remain. That's Allah Ta'ala has promised. Quran will remain till the day of Yawmul Qiyamah. Nobody can touch the Quran. But the knowledge of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, the Prophet said, will be removed by Allah Ta'ala taking the bearers of that knowledge. So we need to ensure that we keep our close contact and rapport with such people. And the next thing is, we should find someone who has the capacity, the capability to bring people onto the Sharia, onto the Deen. And such people are called Mashaykh, they're called Sheikhs. And there are 8 signs which you should look for when you ever look for a Sheikh. I'm saying this, I'll tell you at the end why I'm talking about this, inshallah. But those 8 signs, very quickly, I'll run through them in no particular order. The very first 3 are very important, which are his beliefs, his aqidah must be correct. He must be Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He must believe in everything correctly. We should have no erroneous beliefs. If he disbelieves in one ayat of the Quran, he's no longer Muslim. So those things need to be very clear cut from the get-go. Thereafter, that person should then be acting upon, he should have, sorry, enough knowledge of the deen to act upon. He should know enough of the masail, as I say, that concern a Muslim day to day. The masail of salah, hajj, and whatever else there is, the rights of mu'ashara, mu'amalat, all these things he should know to a T. The third thing is that person should then be acting upon that as well. If his aqidah is correct, if his knowledge is correct, but all day, again, today's theme is alcohol, if he's spending all day drinking alcohol or he's smoking all day, then that's probably not someone you want to take your deen from. So once you've got these 3 basics down, thereafter, then you look for other things as well. I spoke about sunnah today, chain. The person should have a chain which takes him to the Prophet ﷺ. He should be authorized to be a sheikh. Just as there are chains which take you of hadith to the Prophet ﷺ, there are chains of suhbat and companionship which take you to the Prophet ﷺ. And just in the same way the hadith are preserved, these chains are also preserved as well. So he should be authorized in a chain, and other people, other ulama and other pious people should speak well of him as well. This is another way you can cross-reference and check, is this person legit? And once you know all these things, then you check to see that, are the people with him, do they benefit from him? In his company, the people, does the love of the dunya get removed from the heart, and does the love of Allah Ta'ala enter the heart? Are people learning from him, or is it just a show? These are important things to check. And thereafter, a person should then check that, do I feel benefit from him? Am I personally getting benefit from this person? When I sit in his company, is the love of, again, the dunya leaving out, is the love of Allah and His Rasul and the deen coming into my heart? Once you find these things, then that person is correct for you. Then you should not hasten, but to build a connection with that person. And subhanAllah, this is the way in which you will very, very easily bring the deen into your life in completion, bring the shaitan into your life in completion. And then subhanAllah, all the virtues that you hear about with the virtues of good deeds in this world and the hereafter, they will start to come about. For example, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, I'll give you an example of hukuk of the family. He said, whoever maintains and joins family ties, then Allah Ta'ala will place, was it man wasara fi umrihi? Whoever does so, then 2 benefits he gets. One is barakah in his rizq, and barakah in his life. So meaning that whoever wants a long life, and he wants ample provision. He wants money to come and sustenance to come from where he never imagined, and for him to be in rahat in that sense, then he should join his family ties. This is why if you see anyone who has a good relationship with their parents and who does their khidmat and he's a coolness of their eyes, you'll see that in the dunya Allah Ta'ala never leaves them. In the dunya they have a lot of peace and a lot of sukoon as well. And this is the system Allah Ta'ala has created, that when somebody keeps his family ties strong, that Allah Ta'ala's help is with him and in terms of risk. And the other thing is, fi umrihi, that in his life Allah Ta'ala places a lot of barakah. Ulama mentioned there's two meanings of this. Number one is, he lives a very long life. And the other meaning is, that in a very short period of life, he's able to do so much, and so much is taken from him, that it is almost as if he's lived hundreds and hundreds of years on the planet. So subhanAllah, there's so much of these virtues, but if we talk about it, it's not, you know, bayan and taqriz, these things, they don't bring it into life. To bring into practice, a person needs to sit with the knowledgeable people. You know, if you look at the khutbah of the Prophet ﷺ, we have alhamdulillah reminders, we have the Jummah reminders, we need these. But from the Prophet ﷺ's time, since he came to Medina Munawwara, he delivered hundreds of khutbahs for Jummah. Every week he delivered a khutbah for Jummah. But did you know that till today, not a single khutbah from the start to end in its completion is preserved? You will not be able to find a single full khutbah of the Prophet ﷺ, according to the best of my knowledge. So, how did the Sahaba learn the deen then? If you pick up the books of hadith, they say, a Sahabi says, I was walking with the Prophet ﷺ and he said this. We sat down and the Prophet ﷺ said this. We were at fulan place and the Prophet ﷺ said this. Or he did this. Or he approved of this. And that is how the deen was then understood. And that's how the deen arrived to us today. And that is the way we'll bring it into our lives, into the lives of our family and our loved ones, and the way it will be preserved into the generations to continue. So we should try and keep good company, inshallah. And when you're trying to keep good company, try and find people that understand the deen, are righteous people as well, with the conditions we mentioned today. And subhanAllah, you will find that slowly, slowly, especially if you build a personal relationship with such people, that practicing upon the deen becomes extremely easy. And then subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. So the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, the hearts find peace and contentment. So when a person brings good deeds into his life, then he'll only find more and more sukoon, even in his life. And the hereafter is, yani subhanAllah, that is, there's no end to that. And the reward of the hereafter, the Prophet ﷺ says, that no eye has ever seen it, no heart can imagine it, and no one has ever even thought of what it could be like. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to understand what we've spoken about today. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to find such mashayikh. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to benefit from them whilst they're alive. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to also benefit from the ulama whilst they're alive. And may Allah Ta'ala allow us to, through their means, bring the deen and the shariat into our lives into completion and for his pleasure and pleasure alone. Wa akhu da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, after the salah, after the adhan, we will quickly do our durush sharif. If anybody has any questions, inshallah, they can ask after salah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله
لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله رب
العالمين. The reason why we spoke about this today was because now is a very good, important time to speak about this, because very soon, inshallah, to the UK, a very big sheikh will be coming, inshallah, who is, again, a master in this field. From 9 chains, he's received the ijazah to train other people on you know, on this path of bringing the deen into your life, of shariat. So from 9, subhanAllah, big mashayikh, he's received ijazah for such a thing. And inshallah, he'll come to Glasgow as well for a few days. Inshallah, I think next week when Shaykh Habib comes, he'll explain more. But the point is, I just wanted to give you a bit of understanding as to what it means and why it's important to make the most of it. After that, inshallah, it's whoever Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq to. But this was the, at least, Mama Ali Naidul Balagh. Our responsibility was just to convey the need and the message. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام للمرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وانزل المنقذ المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على محمد وارضى عني رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواج أمهات من وذريتي وآل بيتي كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ونهقي يداء وعطي الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته ورزه عنا ما هو أهله وجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمتي وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على النبي الأمي 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 التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات الطيبات والصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات لله الطيبات والصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات والصلوات الطيبات لله سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله تحيات الله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله تحيات الله صلوات الله زكيات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله وشهدت أن محمد رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على 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 رسول الله الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام اللهم لك الحمد